Okay. Upon.
You're yelling.
Am I?
I love it. Okay. No. It's good energy.
Blowing out the mic. Blowing out the mic.
The microphone just
blew. Hello, Connected Techers. We're in the library, so I've been very, very quiet today.
You look like Mr. Rogers.
Do I? Oh, yeah, that's what I was going for.
Your sweater. Love it.
It is high. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, Connected Techers. Welcome back. It's been a hot minute. About a month and a half. Season 2, episode...
Six.
It's been about a year since our very first episode. And, you know, a new look today. We flipped the table around 90 degrees so you can see the amazing things that happened back there.
In the Kingwood Public Library.
That's right, in the Kingwood Public Library. They put up with us for a year.
Where everyone's really, really quiet except for us.
I know, that's why these doors are soundproof.
That's right.
At least I think they are.
We hope they are.
Yes, we hope they are.
Yeah, we flipped the table, we flipped the chairs. I'm on this side, you're on that
that's
side.
That's right, this is my good side.
We tossed the toys.
See, we've grown up, no more toys.
So mature in 2020.
We have coffee and...
Conversation.
Original tabletop, what is this called again?
Table topics.
Questions to start great conversations.
120 of them.
120. Oh my goodness. So we're going to answer all 120 of these. So
that's the episode today.
Buckle up. Now, what are we going to do today?
We're going to do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
We are going to dive into your topic conversations or table topic conversations box. I like the box. I like the acrylicness of it.
It's isn't it great?
Yeah. I like it. It's very simplistic, but appealing.
Yeah.
You know?
So I have this in my office.
Yeah. And since it's a new year and we do have 2020 vision today because we're both wearing our old people glasses.
It better be 2020.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Except when they fog up, right, with the weather. But anyway, it's a new year, so it's a good time to reflect on the past year. And as Daryl said, we've had one whole year of Flipping Good Tech, Connected Tech podcasting. So we thought it'd be kind of cool to take a look at some of the highlights of that year and how they connected to some of the themes we just saw at a conference we attended.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Just recently.
TCEA.
Yeah.
One of the greatest conferences in Texas in regards to educational technology. You can tell we're kind of tired because we just came back from it.
What are you talking about? I'm not tired.
I'm tired.
We're both tired. Yeah, it was an amazing time. You say Texas, right? And that's true. It is like the biggest ed tech conference in Texas. But I can't count the number of people when I was there who were from out of state. They were talking about catching planes to go back to other states. So there were a lot of people coming in from all over the country for this ed tech conference, and we were super proud to be a part of it. Did you present on something at this conference, Daryl?
I did. My bread and butter, digital escape rooms. I should go back. I shouldn't say that this is the greatest ed tech conference in tech, because we went to other ed tech conferences before, smaller ones, but this one's just large in scale, okay?
Right.
Just letting you all know that. There are other great smaller ed tech conferences to go to.
Disclaimer.
So.
One of. Yeah.
We're never going to present on those ever again now.
No, we're not getting invited
like, what?
Back.
How dare you?
They're like, who are you? What? Daryl Elizabeth, who are you?
But yes.
That's good. Yes, digital escape rooms are kind of the...
Digital escape rooms. I don't know. They're probably... I think they're still kind of the range. Because they're engaging. They're fun.
They are.
So they've been around maybe 3 or 4 years now, but every time it always draws a crowd.
It does. The sessions are always full of people wanting to learn how to do it.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. And you do a great job with that. Lots of high energy in those sessions.
You try to after cups and cups of coffee.
Cups and cups of coffee.
Mugs and mugs of coffee.
Oh,
Hydroflasks of coffee. I wasn't the only person who presented.
Well, there are lots of people.
Yeah. That's true. Sitting at this table.
Oh, well, yeah. I presented on Google Sites.
Your line was out the door. Like, literally out the door. People were
They were.
Denied.
A really funny story about that. So I tweeted about that session before with the hashtag TCA, and I thought, maybe I'll draw some attention to it by tweeting about it, inviting people to come. Mm-hmm. So I was really impressed that there were so many people who came. So at the beginning of the session, I'm like, I go, hey, y'all, did you guys all, like, how many of y'all saw my tweet about the session? That's why you came. And, like, one person.
It worked. Social media worked for one person.
For one person. But the rest of them were like, no, we just looked in the schedule. I'm like, okay, yay, TC.
Oh, no, they were like, oh, the other session was full. So I can't. That was rude.
That may be true.
That's not true. That was, no, but people were waiting out there.
Like, yeah.
Because I had a session before that in that mm-hmm. same room. And then when I got out a little bit early, like, wow.
I was super, so, yeah. Super pleased. I was also glad about the time slot that I had. I think I had mm-hmm. a pretty good time slot. Like the middle of the week, 10 o'clock kind of a yeah. start time where people were, you know, kind mm-hmm. of awake now, mm-hmm. now and moving around. So it was good.
Well, what did you go over?
Oh, sorry. I always feel so low in these seats. What did I go over?
You can put another one on top of it.
Yeah. We did that for Jace once.
We did.
What did I go over? I did Google Sites is rated E for everyone and everything, and I talked about the 8 different ways that I have used Google Sites personally mm-hmm. and used some examples from some other people, some other great educators that I love and follow. And then we got some time to play with some things, talked about some hacks, tips and tricks on how to hack your site. To make it look better and customize it. So it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you be interested in linking your presentation in this video?
No.
No. Never mind. You have to be there.
No, we would. We will both. We can both link our presentations.
Yes.
Happy to. We'll link them in the bottom of this, in the description.
Yes,
of
we'll
this
link
episode.
Them there.
I want to play
All
this
right,
game.
Here we go.
I want to play this game.
We're going to open Pandora's box. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. It won't be the first time.
No. All right, let's see. I'm going to pull a random one here.
Is this question for you or me?
This is for you since I'm reading it to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you knew that you were going to inherit a fortune, how would your plans for the future change?
Oh my.
Oh man.
Do I get some think time?
Yeah, we'll give you some wait time.
Okay. I feel like there should be some Jeopardy music playing.
I can do that. I can make that happen. Okay. But then they'll flag the video.
Yeah. Da-na-na-na. But if you use only 30 seconds of it for educational purposes,
is that how
I
that
think
works?
You're good.
Okay, mm-hmm. good to know.
I think you're covered.
Yeah, that's a hack right there.
Creative Commons, yes.
If you knew that you were going to inherit a fortune, how would your plans for the future change?
If I knew I was going to inherit a fortune. Okay, I probably, we had this discussion earlier about something different, but I think that I would probably live my life the same way that I do now. Mm-hmm. I would just live in the moment.
Right.
Like live and love in the moment because we're not guaranteed another breath or another second. And this sounds very deep and
yes.
serious right now. But I mean, you think if you were going to inherit it, that means sometime in the future. Well, I don't know what my life will be up until that point. So I'm just going to make the best of what I have right now. And then if that happens, great.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, okay. But on to the more trivial, what's the word when it's like superficial, like a superficial reason? If I knew I was going to inherit a fortune. I would make plans to definitely not have any kind of debt whatsoever for my family as well, depending on how much it is.
How nice.
And I would probably go, I would like to go to a remote type of a place and help people, maybe teach people in another country how to speak English. Maybe not all
teach
the time, but
Google
go
sites.
There. Teach them how to use Google, yeah. And, I don't know, somewhere with the beach.
Oh, I forgot, it's the fortune, you only get $10. That's your fortune.
In that case, I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
You get a whole bunch of fortune cookies.
Chick-fil-A. There I go.
That's a good answer. Good answer.
It was very serious. I feel like that was a very Miss America type question.
Yeah.
And that I should win the title because of that answer.
It was yay! Yay!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yay!
Okay, your turn.
Good. I don't get the same question?
Nope. Oh. Different question.
Very good.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
I know what you're going to say.
What?
Say something different. What's your dream job, Daryl?
What's my dream job? Oh.
What's your
dream
job?
Okay, my dream job. Oh, gosh. What's my dream job? You know, what's my dream job? What did I want to do? Oh, that's so lame.
What is it? We have to know now.
So lame.
The lamer, the better.
No, it's like, see, I don't. Sometimes I still think, what do I want to do when I grow up? I'm grown up, but I'm happy where I am now. Is that what you were thinking I was going to say?
I did.
I'm happy mm-hmm. where I am now, but you know, I imagine myself in different positions. Like, if I were like in, I don't know, let's say so-and-so's position, how would I handle it? But then I wouldn't want to do that job. A lot of pressure.
Right.
I mean, I'm happy where I am now. And since what I do on the side, like as a passion, I can do at my job now. Mm-hmm. So every skill that I'm learning, like through here, translates to what I do as a media specialist mm-hmm. on my campus. So.
I like that you said that. I saw Jerry Brooks, he was the keynote, the closing keynote at a TCA. And one of the things that he said kind of stuck with me along the same lines. It's like if you're in education and you're not really happy where you are in your person, your present position, it says don't try to go out and change careers altogether. Don't completely leave education just because you may be miserable in that one spot. Look for another place to do that because you're in education for a reason and there's a higher purpose and there's a way for you to use those passions that you may not be able to tap into outside of the education realm. So, that kind of stuck in my head. I love that. I want to ask you, though, I want to flip the question that I had earlier. If you were going to inherit a bunch of money in the future, what would you do?
I always say, you know, I'd go back to school.
I love school.
I'd go back to school. I don't know what I'd study, but I'm...
All the things.
All the things. Because I enjoy learning things.
That's a good answer.
I'd go back to school. Mm-hmm. Would I work? I mean, on the side.
Well, they didn't say how much, and if you had $10,
that's
well,
true.
You're not doing
but if
anything.
I had enough, I, you know, most people say I'm going to quit my job and, you know, spend all my money on the nice things, the fancy things, but then there's no growth in that. I don't know.
Right.
I'd go back to school. I don't know what I'd study. Something education related, maybe. Mm-hmm. But they say money, getting a lot of money, just stresses people out.
I think
you
so
hear
too.
People who win the lottery. They, you know.
And then people all of a sudden they have friends and family coming out of the woodwork.
Out of the woodwork. So.
Exactly. Like worms.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun.
That was good.
So what we should do now is maybe let's talk about some of the big hot topics we saw at TCA.
Let's do that.
Were some of the big things you saw? Some of the sessions that you went to or you saw them popping up all over the place?
I mean, yeah. So I went to TCA last year, the year before last, and augmented reality and virtual reality is always a big thing. Always huge. So many sessions. Jamie Donnelly has sessions. She's the VR AR guru. Mm-hmm. So she was there. I went to one AR VR session. We're talking about Google Expeditions. But we recently, I mean, one of our first few episodes, we talked to a AR VR expert.
Yeah, Steve Dembo.
Steve Dembo.
Season 1, episode 2. A lot of good information on that. We should show the highlight.
Let's
go.
Let's see it. Roll the highlight.
And one of them is because depending on what they wind up going into, VR is going to be a primary way that they gain job skills, get job experience, get reviews, and so on. I mean, it's not even just for high tech jobs. We're talking about concrete things. We're talking about people who work on cars, where what it's doing is it's actually scanning the car and providing them real time information, saying this one's running hot and this piece is broken. You should look at this belt. It looks like there's too much wear. And VR is giving them all that feedback in real time. Or for welding, I mean, there's a welding training simulator using virtual reality where you put on a regular welding helmet, use the regular tools, but they're virtual versions. There's no heat or anything, but on the screen, it makes it look like it's really happening. And so a teacher can be standing right next to them and saying, you're going too fast, you're doing this, let's rewind it, try this again, let's switch it from aluminum to steel and throw in some.
That was a good episode, man. We got a lot of really good feedback on that one.
We did. That's one of our most viewed episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it has over 400.
400!
Which is a lot to me on YouTube. I mean, I don't know if that's a lot.
No, because I think about it, like, I think of like 400 people all in the same room. And it's like, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
Like, if you think about it in terms of, so my class size is about 30. Mm-hmm. So then divide 400 by 30, it's how many, that's a lot.
Don't try to do simple math.
I know, but I just want to visualize what 400 people look like.
I think when you put it in that perspective I think that makes more sense to me, and it doesn't sound like such a small number, it sounds pretty big, because the reach is there.
Right, the impact. Like how many people, potentially, because of that episode, started using Google Expeditions in their classroom.
Absolutely. And maybe the Oculus Go
or they
an
bought
Oculus
an Oculus
Rift
Quest
or whatever
something.
Quest.
Yeah.
Those sales might have gone up.
Right.
You never know.
So you're welcome, Oculus.
Yeah, you're welcome. So that was a good episode. It was season one, episode two. Check out the full episode on our YouTube channel. You can just search Flipping Good Tech and find it.
Oh, you're already there if you're watching this video.
Right.
Just hit subscribe.
Well, hit subscribe. If you haven't subscribed to it, yeah. Awesome. Okay, so what about another question?
Let's do another question.
Let's do one.
Okay.
You draw for me or I'll draw for you?
You go first. You go first this time.
Okay. I'm going to pick from the front.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, this is so classic you. You're going to love this question. Okay, you ready?
This is hard on the spot.
But no, this one's going to be fun.
The power of editing. I can always edit.
Gosh, this is the best one. Viewers, those of you who watch this and listen to us all the time are going to know right when I read this. This is so classic, Daryl.
Okay?
Would you choose, Daryl, to be the worst player on a winning team or the best player on a losing team?
The worst player on a winning team?
Worst player on a winning team or the best player on a losing team?
Okay, so if I were on this team, this worst, the winning team, but I'm the worst player, this team would still be winning? Is that how I would interpret
it? Yes, because it's a winning team. That's what winning means.
For me personally, if I'm the worst player on a winning team, that means everyone on that team is better than me in some way, right?
Okay.
So there's the only way I can go is up, right? By learning from the people that are on that team, mm-hmm. and we're still winning.
Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other hand, if I'm the best player on a losing team, I have the potential to bring those people up to become winners eventually, right?
For example? Can you give me an example of a time that someone might have been on a losing team and they came back and became winners?
Losing team and they became winners?
It doesn't have to be real. It can be fictitious.
Oh, goodness. The Mighty Ducks?
Ooh.
The Mighty Ducks?
The Bad News Bears?
The Bad News Bears? Another the Sandlot?
Major League?
Yeah. Oh, the Astros? Oh, no. Oh,
you went there.
I went there.
You went there. Okay, edit that out. We love our Astros, okay? Everybody makes mistakes. Everyone has these
But okay, so I love
the question.
I would say I would be the worst player on the winning team.
I think I would be too, and that would be hard for us, I think.
It would be hard for
us. As people who are really innately overachievers.
Yes.
I think we try to do our very best all the time and excel at what we do. So I think that would be kind of one of those, be very humbling.
It would be.
To be in that position. But at the same time, someone told me once, and I have to add this to it. I'm sorry, I'm totally like taking over your answer to your question.
Good,
but
please.
This is good. Someone told me once that the next person they were with, they wanted to be the smartest one in the relationship. And I always thought they wanted to be the smart one in the relationship. And that always didn't sit well with me because I always like being around people who are smarter than me because
right.
I feel like I learn so much more and get so much better.
Right.
But anyways.
But you know, that's tough because if they're smarter than you, they're not smarter than you in everything.
Exactly.
So you have to be comfortable enough to be able to, because there are people who are smart, but they're very, arrogant.
Yeah.
Where they think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, what are you talking about, you plebe?
Mm-hmm.
Plebeian.
You're plebeian.
So, you know, depends on this winning team. If this winning team is open to teaching me and bringing me up to their level it's all about culture, right?
That's it.
The question needs.
Wow, that's a really good segue, though, because culture and climate was a big, big theme at TCEA, too.
It always is.
Jerry Brooks hit on it. I went to a couple of sessions where they were really talking about changing the culture. I think it was Thomas C. Murray from Future Ready Schools.
Okay.
He was talking about culture and climate in the classroom. And it seems like we've had a guest.
We did. We did.
Yeah. Well, who was that?
Who was that?
I forget his name. He wore a bandana.
That's right.
I don't know if he has hair or not, because he's always wearing the bandana.
What was that? Was that our third episode?
Mm-hmm.
Season 1, episode 3.
Season 1, episode 3. And I'm kidding about not knowing. It was PC Rocks, Dr. Phil Campbell.
Phil Campbell. Roll it.
No, you guys are exactly right. You have to be yourself. You know, you have to be authentic, just like you said there. And, you know, I think that's a lot of where the bandana comes in.
is I had a lot of conversations with my kids about a lot of different things, but one of the things I talked to them about a lot was teacher dress code. And what do you think about on that first day when I walk in and I'm just dressed to the nines, right? And a lot of their answers were, you don't know me. You don't know what it's like. You don't know my struggle. You can't relate. And I was like, okay, I got you. And so I never wore a tie again. This is more of who I am. And so, like you said, the kids see straight through it. Like if you're trying to put on a show, the kids see straight through that. So you have to be authentic. You have to be real if you want to establish these meaningful connections with those young men, young women on your campus.
Yeah, relationships is that's a big thing.
Always.
It's building relationships. That's the heart of it all.
That's where you need to start before you want to try anything new in your classroom or on your campus.
Absolutely.
Building relationships.
Always start there.
Okay, your turn. You ready for your next question?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
I guess I'm ready.
You didn't read it, did you?
I did not.
Okay, here you go.
With these eyes, you think I really read that?
I saw you peeking.
I was peeking.
I saw you peeking. Oh, but this is super relevant to you.
Okay.
Because you just had a birthday.
I did.
Happy birthday, Elizabeth. Okay, here you go. Elizabeth?
Daryl?
What's your secret to staying young? Both looks and appearance.
Well,
and
do I have a secret? What? And yes. Do I? Okay, I don't know. Let's see. Well, that's an interesting question.
Did I read that right? What's your secret?
What's your secret to staying young? Okay. Well, I appreciate that you think that I am staying young after my big birthday, but I think for me, I mean, besides makeup and straighteners, because you know, I grew up in the 80s. I'm kind of like an 80s.
Yes.
That's my decade.
That's when I was born.
I don't want to hear about it. In the 80s, though, man, big hair, big curly hair was the thing. Uh-huh. And I think it was the thing because we didn't have any other way to tame it.
Right.
So now we have like these flat irons and straighteners.
Yes.
So I feel like the straighteners and makeup and all these different techniques really, really help. And skincare products, I think people are more aware of it. But besides those superficial things, the secret to staying young to me is just really just kind of living and loving the moment, like being in the moment and appreciating the time you have and just not taking it for granted. That's and having a mindset of youth and young and vitality. I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm like too old to play games.
Right.
Too old to go out and play catch or go ride a bike or go walking or whatever. I think it's just keeping that mindset young.
Age is but a number.
But a number. Even if it's a big number.
Details can come true, they can happen to you if you're young at heart.
That's I love it. Speaking of young at heart, we had a really cool guest season two.
Episode 3.
Our youngest guest so far, and he's pretty famous. Well, I should say the product is pretty famous that he created.
Yes.
What do you know about the product?
What I know about the product you're referring to. At the same time, 1, 2, 3. Gimkit.
Josh Funkelsmulisa, thank you.
Josh Feinsilber.
Feinsilber, that's his last name.
What a great episode. And he's very inspiring to many to many students and many teachers. And I know teachers on our campus were referencing Josh because he was able to create Gimkit while he was in
high school. Yeah, started when he was a sophomore in high school and he's barely graduated.
Right.
You played Gimkit at TCA.
I did. I played Gimkit on TCA, and I won because I did all the strategies that Josh did on that episode.
Some good strategies. Yeah,
things to purchase first, and it worked out. There were like 110 people playing, and I won.
Woo! We did it, everyone! We did it!
Come here!
Yeah! Oh, thank you
and
so much.
And when you sharpen the pencil, it comes out like snow.
Okay. Woohoo! Go, go, go. We did it.
Go, go.
What did you win?
I won.
A new nose.
Seriously, I won a new nose. It was a pencil sharpener nose. You stick the pencil up one nostril, you turn it, and the shavings come out the other nostril. From J&J.
J&J.
Oh, they're so much fun.
They are so fun.
Yeah.
They speaking of staying young, they are vibrant women.
Yes, they are.
Full of energy and always up on the latest and greatest in ed tech.
They're hilarious too.
Yeah.
The banter, those two. When we grow up, we want to be just like
we
them.
We do. We want to be just like J&J. If we could get J&J on the show, that would be really cool.
Uh-huh.
You think they watch our show?
they better now.
Every tag J&J. Oh, your tweet.
Shout out. But let's roll the clip with
let's
Josh.
Let's do it. Roll
Josh
the clip.
Feinsilver.
I've always been interested in technology, and I've always been pretty good with technology. But I didn't really start learning how to code until about a year before I started making GimKit. And so when I started thinking of things that I could build, I thought, okay, well, what's an area I know the best? And it was education. I'd been in school my entire life. So when I started to think about what I would build for education, I started to think about something that I would actually want to use. And when I was in traditional school, one of the times when I was really engaged was when we played games in class. So when we played Kahoot and Quizlet Live, I had a great time in class, and I was learning a whole ton. I think the main skill that I wish I learned would be solving problems that don't have a clear solution. So most of my time in school was spent solving issues that people had found solutions before. But now that I'm out of school, I'm solving a lot of issues where there's really no clear solution, and there's no correct end place. And trying to figure out how to navigate that process, work with people, do the research, has been definitely a challenge. So I think that has been the main, I think that'll be the main thing is learning how to solve issues that don't have that clear solution.
Josh from GimKit. I love him. I love Josh Feinsilver from GimKit. He's really awesome. We were at TCA, I did notice, the ed tech world, there are lots and lots of people that are really, really good with educational technology. Right. But as a woman, I'm always very inspired by all of the women mm-hmm. educators that are out there. Casey Bell and Amy Mayer and mm-hmm. Leslie Fisher and J&J, as we mentioned before. And we actually had Amy Mayer on our show, season one also. And she was talking about Google Applied Digital Skills. And she and her team, Fry Technology, were at TCA again right. this year doing lots of sessions. Yeah. Lots of good sessions. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we spoke to her a while back about that. And did you get any of her sessions this time?
I did. I went to a Google script session that she did a lot with who presented? His name was Daryl. Mm-hmm. She kept saying Daryl mm-hmm. in that session. She's like, me?
Yeah.
Me? No. But we talked about Google scripting and how he created, I guess, add-ons for Sheets that he uses in his district. And he gave us some templates that I can use. Oh gosh, amazing. And then another session that Fry Technology was hosting, I guess, is another scripting for beginners. Like, I don't know anything about Google Apps scripting, but they had Wanda Terrell, I hope I'm saying her last name correct, doing that session where we scripted like send an email through Google Sheets script. And I've never done any of it before. And in 50 minutes, I was able to create a script just like that.
And understand the process, too.
That's important. But I got the pattern. Like, okay, so this is what a variable is. Mm-hmm. This is what a macro is. So it was very eye-opening. It gave me the confidence, the motivation to actually venture deeper into scripting. Like, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Anyone named Daryl can do it.
Anyone, that's true.
I heard some things about both of those sessions that you just mentioned too, and that whole scripting, learning how to script and program and things. That's a huge skill that students are becoming more aware of, and I think educators and campuses mm-hmm. and teachers are trying to integrate into their curriculum. All goes back into that 21st century learning and future ready skills for our kids, and that's what the Applied Digital Skills episode we did with Amy Mayer. Mm-hmm. Back in season one was all about. Right. So do we have that clip? Jill?
We do. Let's find it in our Rolodex.
Roll.
A dex.
I don't know.
Roll the clip.
So what Applied Digital Skills is a program that teaches us how to use software in all those different scenarios that we have in our real lives. So for example, you need to be able to make a spreadsheet to make a budget for yourself. So perfect tool for that. Well, you can go into Applied Digital Skills totally for free with or without a teacher, and you can complete that lesson and learn how to use the tools and also do something that, you know, may have a lot of relevance to you as you're perhaps maybe going to be paying your bills for the first time and figuring out how difficult that can be.
I love Amy Mayer, my hero, one of our friends, good friend, Amy Mayer.
I know, she's so sweet.
She is, she's so sweet. Looks great on camera, speaking of staying young.
Yeah, she does.
She does. Always
She's a superstar.
She's a superstar. All right, you got one more question for me before we head out of here?
Sure, I got one more question for you. Ready?
All right. Okay. Or is it your turn or my turn? No, it's my turn to give you a question.
Darn it.
Yes. Okay, okay, okay. So, question for Daryl.
Question for me.
I hope this is a good one. I really do. I really, really, really do.
I'm ready.
Okay, Daryl, are you ready for this one?
No.
Every day, 12 things appear in your backyard.
Oh.
They're random.
Random.
But all start with a letter of your choosing.
Okay.
What letter do you choose? You better
think very carefully. I'm just going to say the letter Z. Because I don't know a lot of words that start with a Z. So I can think of zebras.
Okay.
A zoo, which a zebra would fall in the zoo.
Okay, it's related.
So if a zoo popped up in my backyard, okay. Xylophones.
I don't think that starts with a Z.
Xylophones.
That starts with an X.
Okay, I guess it doesn't count then. everything. Zoologist.
A zoologist, a zoo.
A zygote.
A zebra. Is a zygote a thing? Is that
that's
an
a
X?
Thing. That's a Z.
It's a Z for
As a biology teacher, I know.
Four.
But that'll be kind of, you wouldn't be able to see it.
It's what else? A zookeeper?
A zookeeper. Zoo.
You only have like seven more to go.
I don't know. I don't know any other zebras.
Z was a hard letter.
Gosh. Zydeco?
Zydeco.
Zydeco?
The music.
That's right. That's it. I can't think. If you can think of other Z letters. Z words. Z letters. Z words.
Yeah, tweet them out or something. Tag Daryl on it.
Teach me the
very
words.
Limited
teach
Z words. Vocabulary. Z. Z, wow, way to pick
Zest.
Like the soap. Zest soap.
Yeah.
All these
lemon
Z words
zest.
Popping up like mushrooms.
Yeah,
actually,
that
backyard.
Wouldn't be as exciting. Just a zoo. Just the zebras. A zama.
A zombie.
Zombies.
That's a good one. That's a good one. This was a fun game.
Yeah,
I'm glad
is.
You brought this.
Table topics.
Table topics for conversation.
For conversations.
Around the table.
Right.
Which is what we did today. So this was a lot of fun. So
it sure was.
I hope you enjoyed the highlights that we just shared with you.
It
wasn't all of them, but it was just some of the ones from 2019. And if you want to check the rest of them out, you can go to stay on the YouTube channel and look at the flipping highlights. And we will be coming back with some more episodes.
Right. We've got some great guests lined up.
Great guests lined up, including us.
Including us.
Including us. And we're going to bring Jace back.
Jace.
We're going to bring Jace back for another episode pretty soon. Yeah, unless he started his own YouTube channel.
Probably.
Yeah, he's too big for us
stealing
now.
Stealing our viewers.
He is. But anyway, thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Flippin' Good Side of Tech.